Chapter 13. Snow's Running Red. By the next eve, I almost wished I'd taken Sinner's advice. The winter moot recommenced at dawn. As the frail sun blooded the horizon, I stood at one of the windows in my tower, watching as each clan was led into the great hall by a solemn procession of moon's maidens. Phoebe told me the building was known as the Tail Lead in the Ossian tongue, the Elder Hold. She'd departed with her aunt the previous eve, still in need of rest after her ordeal, and, I suspect, under scrutiny from her kinfolk on the matter of keeping a pale-blood company alone. But she stood beside me now, perilously close, and I did my best to ignore the thrum of her pulse, the broken glass in my gut, the ash on my tongue. "The Whelans," she murmured, nodding to a group entering the hold. "They were the most powerful clan among the Urfwill years ago, but Clan Slain flayed their Regan Mor alive 3 winters back, along with both her sisters and all 3 of her bairns." "What the hell for?" I asked.
"Nobody knows. The Slain deny they were responsible at all, but old Deirdre Slain has hated the Whelans since her husband ran off with one of them 10 years ago."
Phoebe shrugged.
"Old feuds, fresh woes, and always snow's running red."
I watched a pack of Velfwil entering next, decked in fine leathers and elegant steel. The leader was an elder, marked heavy by his beast, covered brow to boots in grey fur. Though still he walked upright like a man, his head was that of a wolf, and he wore a crown of brambles at his brow, a cloak of tawny fur at his shoulders. 3 young bloods, I presumed were his children, walked beside him, all clad as warriors, fierce and proud.
"Clan Baron," Phoebe whispered. "Angus and his sons. They slew my ma."
She drew a long, shaking breath.
"And perhaps my Connor."
"Bastards," I muttered, looking them over.
"It was war, and war is complicated. But that's my mother's hide Angus is wearing as his cloak."
She met my eyes as I looked at her in horror.
"So I, they're bastards."
"Great Redeemer," I nodded to a man among the gathering.
"Who the hell is that?"
"Keelan Emmerich. Defane, they call him. The Red Wrath. Impressive, aye?"
"Impressive?" I shook my head, awestruck. "Fucking terrifying, more like."
"Hey, he's my 3rd cousin. We've known each other from bairns. He's a pussycat."
The so-called pussycat was the biggest man I'd ever seen. It was hard to tell with the hair, but I guessed he stood over 7 feet tall. He was a brick shithouse of a fellow. I mean, huge. Muscle stacked upon muscle. But though he and Phoebe were near of age, it seemed the time of blighted blood had left a heavier mark upon him than his cousin. His hands were paws, and the claws at his fingertips long as knives. He was covered in a coat of rust-red fur, and his head was not a man's, but a lion's, complete with whiskers, snout, and a thick mane, plaited into dozens of slayer braids. He was shirtless, despite the chill, wearing iron pauldrons and vambraces tooled with a beautiful pattern of evernots, a long kilt, and a thick iron belt hung with what looked to be human skulls.
"Remind me not to piss him off," I murmured.
"But you're so gifted at it. Would be ashamed to waste your moon's given talents."
I appreciated the attempted levity, but I couldn't find a smile. Looking out at the clan folk, the friendly embraces or formal bows, sly smiles at greeting, spit on the ground at parting, I sensed a sea of alliances and enmities too intricate and old to see the bottom of. Though these walls weren't golden, this was a court, I realised, as perilous and twisted as the Emperor's Halls of Power in Augustin.
"How the hell are you going to pull this off, Phoebe?"
"Speak the truth. With you beside me.
I'm not sure my presence here is going to be anything but a burden, Kit Kat."
"We fight for Dior now. Have some faith, Silver Boy." Phoebe squeezed my gloved hand. I met her eyes, butterflies loosed in my belly, as I saw the memory of Ravenspire burning in that gold. But our hands slipped apart as the door opened behind us, and Bryn stepped into the room. The Urfwill was clad in leathers, a wolfskin cloak, the dark shadow of a bear cast on the stone behind her. Though she was ever dour and tight-lipped, I think the thanks I'd given had gone a tiny way toward thawing the frost between us. But Bryn was obviously enamoured of Phoebe, speaking to her fellow dancer now while avoiding her eyes. "The moot awaits you below, fair daughter," she murmured. "My thanks, dear daughter," Phoebe bowed, "and thanks doubled for the service ye and your sisters gave in bringing me here. I'm told by Gabriel that I owe ye my life." The big woman shook her head gruff.
"My heart gladdens to see you well.
A debt is owed to ye, brave maid of Fionn." Phoebe stood on tiptoe to embrace the taller woman, kissing her cheeks. "And it's a debt I'll nae forget." The Urfwill grunted, stepping aside. As Phoebe descended the stairs, I stood with hands clasped, watching the heat rise in Bryn's cheeks.
"Hell are ye looking at, Maeve Lair?" she demanded.
"Not a vampire," I reminded her. "And I'm just wondering if we might be treated to a marriage proposal after all." The big dancer scowled, clawed hands twitching, and I skipped after Phoebe before she could make use of them. At the bottom of the stairs, we were met by a procession of moon's maidens, nodding silent greeting. And with swords held before them, candles burning in their crowns, they led Phoebe and me into the great Elderhold and the moot therein. The Highlanders had obviously been warned of my attendance, but I still felt a shift in the current as I entered. If the daggers in the eyes of those who watched me were made of true steel, I'd have been flayed 1,000 times. The tail lead was as spectacular within as without. A vast circular room with a broad fire pit blazing at its heart, banishing all winter's chill. The ceiling was supported by 3 mighty pillars, each carved in the likeness of one of the Dusk Dancer lines, a wolf, a lion, and a bear, facing each other around the flames, feet upon the earth, each doing their part to hold up the ceiling and sky above. The walls were etched with old magics and fey spirals, the rafters carved with patterns of evernots. Incense was strung in the air, and long wooden benches circled the fire pit, cloaked with furs and filled to bursting with a throng of people. Again, I was awed at these strange folk there gathered, all of me on edge. Some seemed barely human, and others had abandoned humanity entirely. But there were ordinary folk among them also, elders mostly, and women almost all, grey hair braided to the floor. These were the All-Mothers, the most venerable and wise of the clans, women who'd survived long enough to remember the follies of the past and hopefully had sight enough to avoid them in the future. We were escorted to a place beside Aunt Cinna, and though Phoebe still looked pale, she matched any gaze aimed her way, unblinking. Cousin Keelan, that massive so-called pussycat, met her eyes, returning her nod. The Baron clan watched her with subtle hostility, whispering among themselves. Their eldest, Angus, still wore the cloak he'd made of her mother's hide, but I saw he wasn't alone in this practice. Most of the dancers in the hall were clad in trophies of battle, bears wearing lions and lions wearing wolves. All around the room, I felt subtle whispers, the riptides of old grudges and bloody history. 3 moon's maidens stood around the fire, silver crescent blades in hand, those strange candle crowns burning around their head. They spoke in an ancient Ossian dialect, something between a song and prayer, and all in the room bowed their heads. The first of the 3 struck her sword upon the floor 3 times, voice high and clear. "Brothers and sisters of the clans, sons and daughters and all mothers, we are gathered here amon at the call of a daughter of Fionn and Dunzer. Let her voice be heard clear, her wisdom judged true, and the will of the Highlands be known.
Phoebe stood slowly, all eyes in that hall, golden and slitted, blue and burning, green and cold, fell upon her. And as she matched those stares, every one, I was struck with how regal her bearing, how fearless her voice. She was but one among many warriors here, the widow of a would-be king, but to me she looked every inch a queen. Dead shall rise, and stars shall fall, wield shall rot to ruin of all, lions roar and angels weep, sinners' hands our secrets keep, till godling's heart bright's hand's eye, from reddest blood comes bluest sky.
Phoebe looked around that hall, firelight burning in her gaze.
So it was spoken years past by the augur of the Urfwill, the seers of the Velfwill, the dreams of the Leofwill. Long have the children of moons and earth prophesied this darkness would come. I see its mark upon your skins as I look around this hall. I see it in the looking glass with my own new eyes. But now it is upon us, sisters and brothers. Do we stand as one against this dark? Or do we quarrel twixt ourselves as we have for generations, while the lands around us rot to ruin, and the world beyond our borders freezes to ice?
What care we for the land beyond our borders, Phoebe Adunzair?
It was a woman who'd spoken, an old warrior with a slash of Neath across her eyes, a scar at her chin, and her grey hair still bound in slayer braids.
What care we for the woes of lowlanders, when my birthlands are stained red with the blood of my grandchildren, flayed by those here gathered under the lie of peace?
Another woman spoke, her shoulders crowned with a mantle of wolf hide.
If ye talk of lies, Deirdre Eslane, perhaps we might talk again of the deceits of your kinsmen, who every day encroach farther into the lands of the Taig.
Grim murmurs circle the firelight, nodding heads and narrowed eyes.
What would you have us do, Nia?
The older woman demanded.
Blightlings roam our domains, and our crops are dead in their beds. Would the Taig see us starve?
A grizzled fellow with a beard like a grey bush spoke then. Some might call that justice slain. Longer than one winter have your bloody handed raiders harried the hunting grounds of Whelan and Taig both.
Aye, spat the green-eyed woman, nodding. Murderers and skin thieves all.
Cries of outrage and agreement filled the air until the moon's maidens struck their swords three times upon the floor.
Phoebe raised her voice in the aftermath. I say, nay that you have unjust quarrel, but I say we are brought to quarrel by the hand of one doom.
She gazed around, meeting the eyes of those who'd shouted.
'Tis the blight that rots the weald and corrupts the game we hunted to feed our families. 'Tis the blight that eats our crops afore they come to fruit, and ever it runs worse.
And so...
It was Angus Abaron who spoke, his voice a wet snarl. It was strange to see a wolf's mouth speak with a man's tongue, ears pressed back against his skull, long fangs flashing.
Ish I worsens. The time of blighted blood has come. All sons and daughters of Fionn know this. All blessed feel the beasts sing louder in their veins. Ye are gone from these lands 2 dozen moons, cub. Did ye return now only to chide us on the state of them?
More growls of agreement, Phoebe raising her voice to be heard. I am returned to tell ye that the godling is found.
Silence fell then, like fog on a winter's morn, eyes glittering, teeth bared.
Aye, found, Phoebe cried. The one spoken of in the augury walks this earth, and I have seen her. Dior La Chance, her name, blessed of the heavens, daughter of the divine. Her blood, a hallowed miracle that can burn the Maevlair to cinders with but a touch, and heal any mortal ill with but a drop. And it shall heal our lands and sky also.
Keelan Americ leaned forward,
elbows to knees, massive paws entwined.
The Anabdai, the Red Wrath said, his voice a rasping growl. A lowlander.
I swear it, Keelan. On the blood of my mother. In sight of moons and earth.
Scoffs of disbelief and furious whispers filled the Elderhold. An old woman was seated beside Keelan, stately and clad in fine leathers and gold. She glanced to Cinna, then up to Phoebe's eyes.
What proof have ye of this, child?
Phoebe looked to me then, and I breathed a heavy sigh. I wasn't sure anything I'd say here would make a difference, but still I stood slowly, looking around the hall. Slipping the glove off my left hand, I held my seven-star aloft before the muttering crowd.
Some of you will know me by deed, more by name. I am Gabriel de Leon.
Angry hisses rippled among the throng, folk plucking hairs from their heads to curse me and spitting twice upon the floor.
For years I fought the dead, in Nordland, in Sudeim, in your own Oswey.
In my time I have seen miracles beyond reckoning, horrors beyond believing, but I tell you now, I have never seen a girl like Dior La Chance. By the power of her blood, she brought men back from the dead before my eyes. Danton, the beast of Valaine and child of Fabienne Vos, was burned to ashes by her hand. The prophecies of your kin, of mine, of the dead themselves have foretold her birth.
She is born. She is real. On my life, on my name, I vow it.
One of the baron rose, snarling. And what wit? The word of a seersan. You bring a heathen to swear afore the moons, another old dame spat at Phoebe. Get of the Mavler setting foot upon this hallowed earth.
Angry words rang in the hall then, and Angus Abaran rose again, glaring at Phoebe.
Have you lost your mind? You fled your duty and your family to chase madness among the heathens, and now you bring a silver-painted worm to testify it sane.
The moon's maidens slammed their swords upon the floor once more, demanding order be restored. As a fragile silence descended, Phoebe pointed at me.
This man saved my life, Angus Abaran. Brought me safe through blood and blight for no reason save it was right. He risks his life to testify these truths to you now. He is a slayer, a Vishai Ai, an ancient Mavelair. He is no worm.
See then, this is true.
All eyes turned to Keelan as he spoke. The mighty Leofwil had golden eyes fixed on Phoebe, his growl echoing in my chest. I could see the power he wielded, fear and respect in equal measure. But I could also see how tangled this knot was, how deep the enmities and suspicions and misgivings among these people ran. There's no love so deep as that of family, but no hate so bitter either. Who can wound you deeper than your kin? And the hell of it was, I couldn't even blame them. My own sister had tried to end me after all.
See, the godling is born among the heathens despite the auguries, Keelan said, and by the grace of the All-Mothers you found her. I might believe such a tale. Ye are Fionn daughter, Phoebe Dunsair, and I've never known ye for a liar.
Keelan shrugged, holding open his arms and gazing around the hall.
So, where be this miracle child?
Phoebe pressed her lips tight, glanced toward me. I could only nod.
She's held against her will, Phoebe said, and there be none to aid her, save us. The Highlands must stand together, one and all, to see the godling freed from her prison.
And where be this prison?
The mother beside Keelan asked.
She is on her way to Dunmere again, Phoebe breathed deep, toward the clutches of the heartless in the Count Divock.
Tumult rose again, quickly silenced by the thumping of silvered swords.
I know I have little voice here, I said, but if I can speak with authority on one subject, it is the dead.
And I tell you now, good people, the Divok are more a threat than any horror of the Weald or enemy here among you. They were blooded after Toliev died at my hands, but they were not beaten. They have come unto some new power, some dread sorcery that lends them a strength I've never seen. Dun Fas, Dun Aris, Dun Quinn, Dun Saith, all smashed like glass. They took Dun Meargen and the Nine Swords Throne in a heartbeat where four clans united could not scratch her walls. I glowered around the hall, voice rising. I know you've struck pacts with them. I know you have your own woes. But dead tongues heeded are dead tongues tasted. And once those leeches have drained the lowlands dry, where do you think they'll turn next? They cannot be befriended. They cannot be trusted. Sweet mother maid, they're vampires. And you're a vampire's son, someone shouted. More agreement, more spitting, more plucked hairs and curses. I clenched my teeth, pressing my lips shut to hide my fangs. My frustration was boiling now. Fear for Dior and worry for Phoebe. And God, I was so fucking thirsty. The old woman beside Keelan shook her head. Phoebe, we have had peace with the Untamed for years. We vowed not to set foot below the Highlands, and the Divok have kept word not to set foot within. But though the Atlas may be our ally, she's nae our friend. If she has this prize in her keeping, as you say, what prize would you offer her in trade for it? You mistake me, wise Terran. The Heartless and her brother shall know Dior's worth. They nae hand her over freely. I dinna propose we trade the godling from the Divok. Phoebe looked around the room, chin high. We will have to take her from them. 100 people rose at once to their feet. 100 mouths drew breath to roar. An utter fucking bedlam broke loose in the hall.